This is the Goalkeepers Union podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Goalkeepers Union podcast. Between the Sticks, me, Matt Beadle, here with the reclusive voice of goalkeeping, Richard Lee.
Matthew, it's been a while. You've had a fresh shave for the new season.
Yes, I have. I needed a reset, actually. I hate it, to be honest. I hate myself without stubble. I look like a 12-year-old boy.
You do. Fresh. I mean, yeah, you look, it does take years off you, I must say that.
Yeah, thank you. Well, fresh for a new podcast, for a new season, but in the midst of a summer, Richard, that is still in full swing. You have been reclusive, you have been housebound, you've basically not left the office in which all the magical transfers happen.
Yes, reclusive. I've been quite boring, actually. I've barely had a life the last couple of months. There's been many occasions, actually, where I realised just how long I've spent in my house without leaving the front door. And it's amazing, actually, when you can kind of create a situation where you don't need to leave the house. So I'm quite fortunate in that I've got a barber that comes over and cuts my hair that, of course, deliver food whenever you need food. There's not really, and I've got sort of a setup in the house where I can do a bit of gym work and so on and so forth. So I've genuinely gone weeks without leaving the front door. I'm not sure if this is healthy or not.
But it's been a busy time, right? I mean, you have been nonstop. The goalkeeping world has gone crazy. It took a while. It took a while for things to kick into gear, but once that merry-go-round started and once that first spot became available, it has been non-stop since.
Yes, the big goalkeeping jigsaw. It's we've seen an incredible amount of movement, and it is still ongoing. I mean, I'm sure we'll be, of course, doing this show again every week, and no doubt there'll be more GKs on their way that we're not going to touch on today. In fact, whether we'll be able to get through them all today, I'm not too sure, because there has been so many, but certainly by the end of the window, we'll do a comprehensive roundup, I'm sure, of all the key movement. But I think even in this next week, for those of you that are like me and have Sky Sports News on in the background all day, every day, there is a lot happening at the moment. And I think even in the next few weeks, we're going to see a few more big ones, I think.
Speaking of jigsaws, there have been a few decent chats in your absence. Of course, you featured in all of those chats with your final question that you like to ask. But Thomas Vashlik, a big fan of jigsaws. He likes to do jigsaws in his spare time. He had one on the table when we had the chat with him. We've had Tom King on the pod. We've had Jack Stevens, Kevin Miller, the Exeter goalkeeper coach, Lawrence Vigouroux, of course, and Simon Smith, the one-time Newcastle goalkeeper coach. So it's been all good fun in your absence, Richard.
It has. I haven't been missed at all. In fact, I've had lots of really positive messages about the pods. If anything, I think it's gone up a level. So
no,
good work.
Surely not.
Yeah, I haven't forwarded any of them onto you, of course. But yeah, loads and loads of positivity, which I don't know whether to take that as a compliment, because we do put on a very good show, or whether it's a little bit of a neg, the fact that I'm not involved other than my 10-second cameo at the end.
All part of the game, mate. The neg, it's all part of the game. So take it as a compliment. So you mentioned there have been loads of movers and shakers. We're going to try and see how many we can get through on this particular podcast. But because there have been so many since that window opened at the beginning of July, we'll see how we go and take it from there. But if we don't get through all of them, rest assured, we'll be back soon with the remainder, won't we, Richard? On with the show.
Let's do it.
GK's on the way. I say GK's on the way. GK's on the way. I say GK's on the way.
Right, we'll start in the Premier League, and we will, if we get an opportunity, actually intersperse some of these GKs on their way with the action that took place at the weekend. It was the first weekend of the Football League, of course. And did you have your Octo screen back up and running?
I did. Do you know what? Initially, I had a little bit of a fright because it wasn't working for about the first 20 minutes. And I thought, for whatever reason, whether it was my Wi-Fi, whether it was being a new season, and then all of a sudden it kicked in and I had the 8 games on in the background. So I've watched loads this weekend, actually. So a lot of the goalkeeping that we're going to be talking about, there'll be a few others that I might even drop in that you haven't even thought of because of the amount of games that I watch. But some top goalkeeping performances to start the season in what was an unusually difficult start to the season when it came to weather. The fact that we had, well, see, there was a game or two called off, which is just mental. But watching a lot of the games, you could see how strong the wind was, the rain, etc. So not easy conditions for goalkeepers, but there were some top performances.
Okay, we'll start in the Premier League, shall we?
Let's do it.
Andre Onana has gone from Inter Milan to Manchester United for 47.2 million. Bailey Peacock-Farrell from Burnley to Aarhus. That's on a season-long loan, which has paved the way for James Trafford to come into Turf Moor at 19 million, including add-ons, or 15 million, sorry, including add-ons, which could get to 19 million. Lawrence Figueroa has joined him at Turf Moor from Leyton Orient. He's arrived on a free. Also on a free into Wolves is Tom King from Northampton. Guglielmo Vicario has come into Tottenham from Empoli. That's on a 5-year deal for an undisclosed fee. Edouard Mendy has joined the many fleeing to Saudi Arabia. He's gone to Al Hilal from Chelsea, also undisclosed. As a result, Robert Sanchez in to Chelsea from Brighton at 25 million. Bart Verbruggen from Anderlecht to Brighton, that's undisclosed. And Thomas Kaminski has joined Premier League newcomers Luton from Blackburn.
Oh, where do we start? Some really interesting ones there. Obviously, Onana, great to see him in the Premier League. Really, really impressed whenever I've seen him, certainly over the last year or two. It's interesting that already, I know there's been obviously a couple of goals he's conceded in pre-season, but you can already start to see the vultures circling and ready to give him a little bit of stick. But I think certainly the way that Ten Hag wants to play, I think he's going to be a really, really good fit. Obviously, you mentioned James Trafford there as well. Fantastic summer. Well, fantastic couple of years for him, really. And I know we did the podcast with him not so long ago. For someone of his age to have the opportunity now to be playing in the Premier League, if he can hit the ground running, which I'm sure he will, then it's a really, really exciting time for him. You mentioned Lawrence Figueroa, great move for him. Not many go from League Two to the Premier League. Bailey Peacock-Farrell, a bit of an unusual one, this one. And it's actually an ex-manager of mine, Uwe Rosler, who is the manager of Aarhus, and Stigging Bjørneby, the ex-Liverpool fullback, is the, I think, the director of football there. And I know they were looking at a few English-based goalkeepers. So credit to Bailey Peacock-Farrell, because I think a lot might have had the loan into the Championship, but certainly he's open to trying something a little bit different, which I think for goalkeepers to express themselves and explore different markets, huge credit to him. Robert Sanchez, I find a fascinating one, because it was only probably 6 months ago the price tag would have been double, if not treble. And I guess what happened at the back end of last season, the situation he found himself in, Chelsea managed to bring him in at a cut price. Be a really interesting battle that between him and Kepa, I'm sure. For Bruggen, I feel like I've heard his name so many times over the past year, so really excited to see how he gets on. And delighted for Thomas Kaminski. He's been fantastic for Blackburn past few seasons. It's very rare that you see goalkeepers go from the Championship to the Premier League if not promoted with the team. We spoke about this quite a lot, so again, it'll be fascinating to see if he gets that number one shirt. Sounds like Luton will be bringing in another goalkeeper in the next week, but if he can get that number one shirt, you know, we speak about it all the time, how do you get that route into the Premier League? And this is a good example, I think, where a team gets promoted to the Premier League, they know all about the Championship, the quality of the Championship, and my guess is that he'll perform very, very well.
All of those are interesting, really, those moves. But two in particular being Onana and Vicario, because they've come into Manchester United and Tottenham respectively. And as a result, although it's not been confirmed yet with Hugo Lloris, but as a result, ended the tenures of stalwarts at clubs, De Gea at United and Lloris at Spurs. It is going to be really interesting to see how this pans out, because like you say, although the narrative for Onana prior to him joining Manchester United was very good, was very high, all it took was just a couple of moments in pre-season that weren't even particularly his fault. And the, like you said, the vultures are out. So the vultures were out for David De Gea. Now David De Gea is gone. It's going to be interesting to see how he's now viewed as Manchester United's goalkeeper for all that time.
Well, do you know what? I think what works in their favour, and we talk a lot about the narrative, is that the narrative had shifted on De Gea and Lloris, rightly or wrongly, in my opinion, wrongly, but the narrative had shifted. And so because of that, they're stepping in a little bit more on the front foot. It was a fascinating one, though. I'm sure most people have seen it now, and Onana getting beaten from inside the centre circle, which wasn't his fault at all. You know, the fact that goalkeepers now, certainly when you're playing in a team like that, you're playing so high because you are effectively playing as a sweeper. You know, you're being used as an outball so often, so you can't be too deep in your goal. And of course, if they lose the ball, like United did in that situation where they've lost the ball, you know, poorly, to be honest, trying to play across to the centre-back, misplace the pass, and of course, the goalkeeper's going to be out of position. So every single time, if someone can execute a strike in the way that they did, there's very little chance the goalkeeper's got of saving it. But of course, yeah, that gave social media a field day with that particular one. And Vicario will be interesting too. The fact that Lloris hasn't moved on yet makes that interesting, because you kind of felt like the moment he came in, it wouldn't be long before we're hearing Lloris off somewhere. Although there haven't been too many rumours at this point. I'm sure he will go by the end of the window, but the fact that he's still in the building makes that a really interesting dynamic.
Into the Championship, where it has been all go at the Riverside Stadium. Senny Dieng into Middlesbrough from QPR, Jamie Jones into Middlesbrough from Wigan, and Tom Glover into Middlesbrough from Melbourne City. And that is because Liam Roberts has joined Barnsley on a season-long loan. We'll get onto that when we cover League One. But Joe Lumley has also gone into Southampton on a free. So all change there in the goalkeeping department at Middlesbrough. Dylan Phillips into Rotherham on a free from Cardiff. Carl Darlow into Leeds for an undisclosed fee from Newcastle. Fascinating to see how that one pans out with the EM. Melier starting, of course, at the weekend in the 2-2 draw with Cardiff. Connor Hazard into Plymouth from Celtic for an undisclosed fee on a three-year deal. Mark Travers into Stoke on a season loan from Bournemouth. Chris Maxwell into Huddersfield, who have had a few goalkeepers leave. Of course, we'll get onto those shortly. He's gone into the Terriers from Blackpool on a free. Mads Hermansson making his debut for Leicester at the weekend from Bromby. That's an undisclosed five-year deal. Asmir Begovic into QPR from Everton on a free. Brad Collins into Coventry from Barnsley for an undisclosed fee. Carl Rushworth, another step in his goalkeeping development, jumping up a division into Swansea on a season-long loan from Brighton. Matias Sarkic into Millwall from Wolves for an undisclosed fee. And Davies Vasquez into Sheffield Wednesday from AC Milan on a season-long loan.
Yeah, again, lots of interesting movement in the Championship. I'll try and mention a few. Vasquez, I find a fascinating one, because not one that we'll know loads about. So I'm really curious to see how he gets on. There is an Italian goalkeeper coach that's just gone into Sheffield Wednesday, top goalkeeper coach, and obviously knows all about Vasquez. So no doubt he'll be one to keep an eye on. Matias Arkic, good move for him to continue getting game time. Wasn't getting the opening at Wolves, so makes a lot of sense. Similarly, Connor Hazard, highly rated at Celtic, but again, just couldn't quite get the game time there. Did really well in Helsinki, and Plymouth will have an interesting situation now, bringing him in. Started the season very well, and of course they got the highly rated Mike Cooper coming back from injury. Travers, another similar tale, not quite getting the game time in the Premier League, so a very good loan for him. Carl Darlow, as you say, another fascinating situation in that you wonder whether Mezier will go this month, and that will then pave the way for Carl Darlow, because of course he wouldn't be going there as a number two, so it makes you feel that he will likely move on. But again, an interesting signing, a big signing for Leeds. Joe Lumley going into Southampton. Again, will there be more movement there, given that they've of course got Lumley, McCarthy and Bazunu, so a really strong goalkeeping department. Tom Glover was a fascinating one, because he did really well over in Australia, won a couple of titles, might have even been three, but a couple of titles over there. Was previously at Spurs when he was younger, so he's got himself back into the Championship. Senny Dieng, a good move to him. You'd think that Middlesbrough will be there or thereabouts this season. Dylan Phillips again back in the Championship, obviously in Belgium last season. Good platform for him as well, so lots and lots of movement.
You mentioned there as well the fact that a number of clubs now have quite a few goalkeepers among their ranks. It's an interesting situation again that I can't remember seeing in recent seasons, where moves have been made without players going out of the door. So you've got examples like Southampton, like Leicester. We mentioned Hermansson there, who had a good debut at the weekend as Leicester beat Coventry. He made a couple of really good saves in that one. Very adept with the ball at his feet, it seems. Again, a bit of stick on Sky Sports. Apparently he's the weak link because he wasn't able to collect a few crosses, which I thought was just unbelievable. But Leicester, for example, now have Hermansson, who started the game. On the bench was Jakub Stolarczyk. And as things stand, am I right, they still have Danny Ward in the building, Alex Smithies in the building, and Dan Everson all in the building.
Yep, and a few younger pros as well. It's just mental. Mental, if you ask me. I think that, look, situations like Southampton and Leeds, I understand, because effectively you've got, and Leicester to an extent, because you've got Premier League clubs down, coming down into the Championship, but they're still operating effectively as Premier League clubs. They've got the parachute payments. Their plan is very much to bounce back. So they will want three strong goalkeepers. Whereas when you get into kind of mid-Championship, they haven't necessarily got the resources to be able to go with goalkeepers of that caliber and have three. So you'll often find that they'll, of course, have two and maybe an older number three or an up-and-coming number three. But the Leicester situation for me is just baffling. Again, you just wonder how it will play out, because of course you can't keep a goalkeeping department like that happy. So then who are the likely ones to move on? I would think that you would keep Smithies as that three. Maybe Stolarczyk as the two, and then you'd think then Danny Ward and Iverson would move on. But again, it's not as easy as that, because this isn't just Leicester. This is a lot of the clubs that do come down. Of course, players will be on big salaries. So then to move them on, they probably have to go back to the Premier League. And of course, you know, we've gone through the Premier League transfers. There's always a lot fewer transfers in the Premier League than elsewhere, and there aren't always the slots available. So yeah, I'm really, really intrigued to see how it plays out for Leicester in the next few weeks in particular.
And just a word on the action from the weekend as well. Jack Anik was in for Cardiff, thought he put in a decent performance in the absence of Ryan Alsop, who was out injured. Vaslav Hladký, worth mentioning him because he made a very, very decent save right at the death in Ipswich's win at Sunderland. You thought as the game started, there were a couple of touches early on. It was his first start since, I think, towards the end of not last season, but the season before for Ipswich. So he did very well. And you could tell at the end of the game as well with his celebrations that he was happy with his performance. Conor Hazard, you mentioned him there. Decent performance from him. Good save from Danny Ward in Plymouth's win over Huddersfield. And Cole Rushworth, we will mention him because I didn't like what he did when the goal was conceded, the opening goal. He was very quick to put his hand up and apologise, and he kept it there for quite a while. We talk a lot about owning your mistakes and just getting on with the game. And to be fair, that he did do with some very good saves for Swansea in their draw with Birmingham.
Yeah, a few to mention there. You're right. And by the way, that Cole Rushworth goal, it was, what was interesting to me was when they threw it back to him, you could see him visibly saying, no, don't throw it to me, because it didn't make sense. They've thrown it back to him. And of course, you've got this bouncing ball coming into you, a striker closing you down. He had no obvious out ball other than just to put his foot through it, which in hindsight might have been the right play in that situation. But I remember being there myself. And again, I'm sure that all goalkeepers can relate, where, you know, they're looking to throw the ball back to you. And to be honest, when a ball's being thrown back to you and it is bouncing like that, unless you have some obvious out balls and a simple pass to make, ultimately you're just going to clear it down the field anyway. And it's much harder to clear that ball than it is a ball that's laid back to you for a first-time clearance. So I didn't really think that it was his fault, if I'm honest, because even then he's looked to play it into the sitting midfielder or the defender that was there that could then play it out to the fullback, who didn't really react and of course was robbed and they scored the goal. So don't really know what else he does there other than next time going long down the field. But of course, that's not the style that Swansea play, or most of these teams now for that matter. And you're going to see that a lot this season. I'm glad that on the whole, I don't think that's getting as much stick as maybe it would have got 5 years ago, in that there is a realisation that this is how goalkeepers have to play if they're going to be in a team that looks to build from the back and has that much more possession, etc., etc. But yeah, a couple of the other performances to mention. Well, firstly, Cole Rushworth did make a couple of very good saves. Really clean hands down to his right, down to his left. Very good save second half when he got himself across the goal very quickly to get himself down to his right to make a big save. I thought Jack Anik was excellent. I saw that he got star man in the paper for what that's worth, but the save down to his left in particular, where it's going right in the corner, but I think he's read the situation very well, quick to his left, gets down, fingertips around the post. Excellent spread as well in that game. Hermansson, couple of top saves, a tip onto the bar. At first wasn't seen, but moved himself very quickly, got good fingertips to that one. As you mentioned, Hladký. And there's a few goalkeepers this weekend where you've always got the first game of the season. I think for most goalkeepers, you're going to have more nerves than normal, because most won't have played for a period of time. Again, you've had a few pre-season games, but it's not quite the same. Again, the weather conditions weren't necessarily as good as they could have been on the opening day of the season. And someone like Hladký, where he hasn't played for a long time, suddenly you're thrown into a championship game with Christian Walton picking up an injury. Naturally, you're going to be that little bit more nervous, but I thought he really played himself into the game well. And to make a big save like that in the dying moments to win your team the points, big, big day for him. Conor Hazard as well, similarly, you know, big day for him coming into the championship. And I thought on the whole was excellent. Great tip over the bar, big spread. On the whole, played out very well. And certainly the conditions down in Plymouth were probably worse than most other places in the country, as it often is. So yeah, some big, big performances from the goalkeepers this weekend.
Into League One, where Tashby Hammond has gone into Stevenage. He had that season loan last season, of course. Now he's made the move from Fulham permanent, made a very good save early on in their big win, big opening day win at Northampton. Christian Heggie has gone into Stevenage also on a season long loan from West Ham. Will Norris into Portsmouth from Burnley, that's on a free. Lucas Jensen out of Burnley as well into Lincoln on a 2-year deal. Nathan Baxter has joined Bolton from Chelsea on a free. He's been joined by Joel Coleman in from Ipswich, Josh Vickers has moved to Derby on a free from Rotherham. Max Thompson on loan at Northampton until January from Newcastle. Connor Ripley has gone from Morecambe to Port Vale on a free, and he's been joined at Vale Park by Jason Lutweiler. He's come in from Oldham. Finn Talley has gone into Peterborough on a free from Brighton. Laurie Schala has gone into Wickham on a free from Crystal Palace. And Harry Eisted, who had a very good end of season last season at Barnsley on loan from Luton, has now switched to the Valley into Charlton from the Hatters on a free transfer.
Yeah, again, lots of movement in League One. A couple in particular that I'll mention. And actually what we've seen, this isn't just in League One. I think we've seen it in League Two as well, which no doubt we'll touch on in a minute, which is goalkeepers moving down a level to get that regular game time. And I think that's a result of a few things. I think that we've seen this summer, other than the big clubs we talk about who have their three established goalkeepers, there's so many teams now that seem to be going with one permanent goalkeeper and maybe a loan coming in as that number two. Now, what that's meant is that it's driven goalkeepers down. If they're going to get that permanent move, the likes of Nathan Baxter, the likes of Craig McGillivray, dropping maybe a level lower than what they can play in order to get that regular game time at one of the bigger clubs at that particular level. So Nathan Baxter being a good example to find a home, obviously after Chelsea, so many different loans that he went on, a lot of championship games to his name. But to go to an environment like Bolton does make a lot of sense, where you're going to be at a team that you'd like to think are going to push for a promotion. You can really establish yourself as a number one on a permanent. And certainly for him, I think that's a very intelligent move. I felt a little bit for Connor Ripley at the weekend. Again, top season last season. Went to Port Vale, and of course they had a heavy defeat at the weekend, but he didn't really have any chance with any of the goals, certainly from what I could see. But again, I think it is one that is a very good fit for where Port Vale are and the type of goalkeeper that will flourish with them. And lastly, I mentioned Harry Eisted. As you mentioned, top season last season. I did see this as a bit of an odd move because, of course, they got Ash Maynard Brewer, who did start at the weekend, top season for him last season. So you've now got effectively two number ones at Charlton, which I know a lot talk about that in a positive sense, but I think they're going to have to be a little bit careful because I do wonder how you keep both of them happy. Of course, both similar ages, both wanting to play. I think it's all good and well having two number ones, maybe a little bit higher up. I tend to find that in League One, League Two, for me anyway, I think that you always want to have a good challenge, a number two who's going to be a really good challenge. But I think, you know, to have those two number ones, for instance, if it does happen, and of course it's all over the press that it looks like it could happen, you know, David Raya going into Arsenal, it's going to be a similar situation where how do you keep a Raya and Ramsdale happy? And again, maybe they'll find a way. I think they might struggle. And that's my only worry for Charlton's situation, that I feel they've got two goalkeepers that at that level will certainly expect to play.
And the second half of League One sees James Beadle into Oxford on a season-long loan from Brighton. Richard O'Donnell has joined Blackpool from Rochdale on a free. Luke Southwood, who was on a season loan at Cheltenham last season, has now made that move permanent from Reading. Jamie Pardington has also gone into Cheltenham from Larne. That's on a free. Jamal Blackman, the next stage in his goalkeeping career, has arrived at Burton. He's joined from Exeter on a free and is joined by Max Crocombe, who's come in from Grimsby. Liam Roberts, we mentioned him in the Championship merry-go-round. He's gone into Barnsley on a season-long loan from Middlesbrough and has been joined by Ben Killip from Hartlepool. Sol Brin, who spent last season on loan at Swindon, of course, he's now on a season-long loan, jumping up a division to Leyton Orient, is joined by Sam Howes from Wealdstone at Brisbane Road. Matthew Cox and Matthew Hall, so the two Matthews going into Bristol Rovers, one from Brentford in Cox on a season-long loan and one from Southampton in Hall on a free. Out of Huddersfield are two goalkeepers, Ryan Schofield and Nicholas Bailo-Kapic. Schofield going into Portsmouth on a free and Bailo-Kapic into Peterborough for an undisclosed fee, and Kieran Slicker into Ipswich from Manchester City.
And again, a few to mention there. Certainly James Beadle and Matthew Cox, because again, two top young goalkeepers, of course, both involved in the World Cup for the U20s for England in the summer. Two excellent loans for them, I think, at League One level. You know, certainly at this age, we spoke about James Trafford and how quickly he's risen to the Premier League, and they're following a very similar pathway. Certainly, if they can have a big season in League One, we've seen it previously with the likes of Sanchez, League One to the Premier League, Ramsdale, League One to the Premier League, Bazunu, League One to the Premier League, Trafford, of course, League One loan to the Premier League. So you do wonder whether one of these two could be the next one to do that. A couple of others, Liam Roberts, good loan for him. Game time was limited at Middlesbrough last season, but by all accounts did very well there. But now he's going to get regular games. Of course, fantastic start to the season for them against Port Vale at the weekend. Luke Southwood, brilliant season for him last season. A big number of clean sheets in a struggling Cheltenham team. But again, it's going to give him an opportunity to build up a big CV this season, no doubt. Good loan for Sol Brin. Big shoes to fill, certainly with Lawrence Vigouroux having been there previously, but an excellent loan for him. And just to mention Bilicapic as well, because he's one that whenever he stepped in at Huddersfield, I thought he was always very impressive, but you just felt needed a season's worth of games. Again, should be top end of League One. And in fact, I'll give Kieran Slicker a mention too, because he's another part of the Manchester City production line, of course, of Scotland under 21 number one. But of course, the amount of goalkeepers at Man City, you feel going to a team like Ipswich, a vehicle that's going in the right direction, to be more of a major part as to what they're doing, I think it's a great move for him.
And an interesting situation, just to touch on Bristol Rovers too, who have a very solid number one in James Belshaw, but Matthew Cox starting at the weekend, highly rated, of course, at Brentford, very nearly made his debut, didn't he? Was that last season or the season before in that game with Manchester United, which would have been quite an amazing thing to happen for him, but looking to continue his personal goalkeeping development at the Memorial Stadium. But they brought in Matthew Cox on a loan. They brought in Matthew Hall from Southampton, who you'd imagine would have been that younger number two. But with James Belshaw also still in the building, it's going to be interesting to see how that one pans out.
Yeah, again, it goes back to what we spoke of before, you know, where you've got two people that expect or feel like they need to be number one. So this is why I think there's still going to be a lot of movement back end of this window, because there's quite a few situations like that where it is different if someone then transitions into that too. Simon Eastwood's a good example at Oxford, where, you know, played a lot of games, of course, for Oxford last season, but he's transitioned into that too, and he'll support and challenge James Beadle. But if a goalkeeper isn't looking to do that or ready to do that, then again, it just won't work. So I think potentially James Belshaw might be one of those, but there's going to be a few, I feel, that will move on back end of the window to try and find that starting spot somewhere.
And finishing up in League Two, I think we're going to get through all of them, Richard. You've done well here. Well done.
Thank you.
Christy Pym has finalised his move to Mansfield from Peterborough. He was there, of course, on loan last season. That is now done permanently on an undisclosed fee. Alex Cairns, the same thing with him, was on loan at Salford last season from Fleetwood. He's now made that move permanent on a free. Joe Wright has joined him at the Peninsula from Millwall. That is a loan until January. You mentioned him earlier. Craig McGillivray has gone to MK Dons from Burton on a free. He's been joined by Nathan Harness from Charlton, also on a free. Jake Eastwood, who spent some time on loan at Grimsby previously, has now made that move permanent from Sheffield United for an undisclosed fee. Harvey Cartwright has joined him at Grimsby. A series of loans last season. He was at Wickham. He was also at Peterborough. Didn't quite work out for him, but looking to perhaps make that loan move more successful this season. Aidan Stone into Notts County from Port Vale on a free. Stuart Moore out of Blackpool and into Morecambe on a free. Luke McGee into Tranmere from Forest Green Rovers, which completes a bit of a weird dynamic between those two clubs and goalkeepers. That's on a free. Luke Daniels into Forest Green Rovers from Middlesbrough on a free. He's been joined by Jamie Sell from Barnsley. And Luca Ashby-Hammond into Crawley on a season loan from Fulham.
Good stuff, Matthew. Yeah, a few interesting ones there. Of course, Alex Cairns did really, really well for Salford last season, helped them to the playoffs. So good for him and them that he's going to continue his journey there. As you mentioned, Joe Wright, young lad at Millwall that will no doubt challenge him. Jake Eastwood, excellent start for him at Grimsby, of course, penalty hero and a clean sheet in his first game. Knows the manager well from being with him previously, so a nice fit for him. And hopefully he's one of these that, and you see it often, obviously been on a few loans, hasn't necessarily been able to get the game time. He's 26 now, I want to say. So for him to really start to establish himself, which we're seeing more and more. I know we always use the Emi Martinez example where kind of had to wait so long for a chance. I know he did have his loans at Reading, etc., etc. But, you know, with goalkeepers being as they are, there's no reason the likes of a Jake Eastwood can't go on into his late 30s. So hopefully now he can really establish himself at that level. Similarly, Stuart Moore, limited game time over the last couple of years, so a good opportunity for him to fully establish himself. A good move for Aidan Stone. I felt for him at the weekend. And of course, like you say, we are going to intersperse a little bit of action. But I did feel for him in his debut, and that poor back pass, and it's one of those. Do you then come and engage? Do you hold back? Of course, he felt he might have been able to get there, make it a 50-50, wasn't able to, and naturally getting there a little bit late, being the last man. Of course, a red card follows. But a good move for him, and again, another team that I think will challenge this season. Nice to see that Luke Daniels will get some regular game time again. It's been a while since he's been that established number one. Of course, had his time at Brentford, Middlesbrough, but game time was a little bit limited, certainly very limited at Middlesbrough. Did get some games at Brentford, but good for him that he'll be able to establish himself, no doubt, as a strong number one again. And Luke Ashby-Hammond, of course, did very well at Aldershot last season. A tough challenge for him there. Corey Adai did very well back end of last season. So you expect that to be a really good battle between those two for that number one shirt at Crawley.
Can we just quickly talk about that Aidan Stone sending off? Not because of the moment itself, but the moment afterwards where the striker from Sutton, Harry Smith, was desperate to get a reaction out of Aidan Stone, waving in front of his face, waving to the crowd, geeing them up, telling him, yeah, he's off, tapping him on the back as he left to try and get a reaction. And fair play to Aidan Stone for not giving him an inch. He gave him nothing.
Yeah, really poor. Really poor. And I think, I'm trying to think of how many goalkeepers wouldn't have reacted. I certainly think that the percentage would have been a lot higher of those that would have done something. But you know, of course, the moment you retaliate, it's not going to end well. So yeah, huge credit to him for that.
And the second pack in League Two sees Murphy Mahoney go to Swindon on a season-long loan from QPR. Alex Bass into AFC Wimbledon from Sunderland, also on a season loan. This one will be interesting, of course, because Nick Zanev playing the majority of games for AFC Wimbledon last season. Owen Goodman, highly rated at Crystal Palace, he's gone to Colchester on a season loan. Johnny Maxted into Newport on a free from Northampton. Steve Arnold into Sutton on a free from Southend. Lewis Thomas into Harrogate on a free from Burnley. Harvey Davies, another of the season-long loan crew, into Crewe from Liverpool. Villiamy into Exeter from Aston Villa on a season-long loan. And the Smiths, Jackson of Wolves into Walsall on a free. And Tom from Arsenal into Colchester on a free.
Good stuff. Yes, a few talented young goalkeepers actually getting their loans into League Two. So that's always nice to see. Certainly you mentioned Villiamy, you mentioned Murphy Mahoney, Alex Bass, Owen Goodman, Harvey Davies into Crewe, and it's nice. I mentioned earlier that I feel that the number of goalkeeping slots has reduced this summer, given that a lot have gone down this strategy of one permanent and a loan as a two. But I think the ones we've named there, the majority will be loans as a one, which will just give them that platform. Again, we mentioned it. It sounds so obvious, but of course, when you are playing, there is the opportunity for people to have eyes on you. Those that are on loan, the opportunity to impress your parent club. League One, League Two level is so highly rated, and as I mentioned before, so many do make the jump from a loan like that to then challenging for the first team. Or you go down the route of a Carl Rushworth, for instance, and you gradually climb the levels. Josh Griffiths previously gradually climbed the levels. So yeah, pleased for these guys. Not easy loans to get, but really good platforms for all of them.
And we'll just wrap up the rest. There's been a few other movers outside of the Football League, so I'll quickly run through them, where Jojo Wollacott has gone to Hibernian from Charlton. That's an undisclosed fee on a three-year deal. Kieran O'Hara into Kilmarnock from Colchester. Kiel Sherpin on a season loan to Sturm Graz from Brighton. Joe Day has left Newport and gone to Woking on a season-long loan. Andre Radu, who's coming to Bournemouth from Inter, also on a season loan. Tegan Mika from FC Rosengard to Liverpool on a free. Daphne von Domselaar from FC Twente into Aston Villa on a free. Hannah Hampton out of Aston Villa to Chelsea on a free. Sam Long on a season-long loan to Falkirk from Lincoln. And Ross Doohan from Forest Green Rovers to Aberdeen for an undisclosed fee.
That is a lot of movement, Matthew. But yeah, just to mention, Kiel Sherpin, pleased for him. I know that certainly he would have been keen to see if there was a loan in the Championship. Of course, highly rated at Brighton, but with Verbruggen coming in, he needed to move on. Good loan for Sam Long, of course, Falkirk. League One in Scotland, but huge team for that level. Certainly going to be looking to get promoted. So big season for him. And Ross Doohan will be pleased, because certainly it was a tough end to the season at Forest Green last season, I think, for everybody involved at the football club. So to get a move up north, big move for him and good opportunity.
Lovely stuff, Richard. Well, you rattled through those, I think, admirably, successfully. Well done. A good return to the Goalkeepers Union podcast for you, Rich.
Very true. I mean, I'm just trying to count the number of movers and shakers. It's got to be a good 50-odd moves there. Crazy summer for goalkeeping. And as I say, I've got a feeling that it's far from finished. I think there'll be a lot in the coming week or two.
We'll mention the Community Shield, because Arsenal did bag the trophy, or the shield, I should say, against Manchester City at the weekend. Aaron Ramsdale starting the season with a bang, as you'd expect. Now, we don't often speak about speculation. You did mention it there when we were discussing moves into the Premier League. David Raya, it's not done yet, so we won't talk about that until it is officially done, if it does indeed happen, of course. But Aaron Ramsdale doing his thing at Wembley. Very good save from Phil Foden in the first half, and Rodri too from the subsequent corner, and then a penalty save from Rodri to effectively win the pre-season showpiece. And I thought it was quite nice that he actually was quite quick to run to Matt Turner. That was the guy he wanted to celebrate, really. And a really audible clap as well, doesn't he, Aaron Ramsdale gives before those penalties are taken, which we're led to believe is supposed to be getting clamped down on, but it seems to be allowed that you can still whack your hands together, which is a good thing, of course. We don't really want to make this a thing. We don't want to raise this point.
Yeah, I was going to say, they've changed the rules enough to make it as difficult as possible for goalkeepers. But no, I thought he was excellent. As I say, it's going to be a really interesting week ahead. And I know one that we haven't touched on. I don't think it's actually complete, certainly as of time of recording. But Matt Turner to Nottingham Forest looks like it is there or thereabouts, which again makes you think that something is happening with David Raya. And as you mentioned, we don't normally talk about speculation, but you just feel that allowing Matt Turner to move on, something has to be very close. But I thought that Aaron Ramsdale did himself absolutely no harm. Top season last season, and certainly in this game, big one-on-one save. Certainly the save at the near post I wanted to mention, because I thought that was excellent. You know, the speed at which he got himself back into position. It's a really tough one, that. The corner to the near, flicked into the near post. Naturally, you're taking a position backside of the goal. Normally you'd be 2 or 3 yards out towards the back of the goal to be able to then approach anything that does come into the 6-yard box. So for him to reposition as quickly as he did, and the reaction, the reflexes to get down low to his right, and even the angle of his hand to then be able to put it into a safe area, I thought it was a top save. Obviously good penalty save in the shootout as well, and you can see how much it meant to him. But it will be, if it does play out as is speculated, it's going to be a fascinating situation there, because surely how Aaron Ramsdale did last season, you know, certainly you can't think they could take him out of the team. But then similarly, David Raya was exceptional, you know, arguably goalkeeper of the season. So they're going to have two top goalkeepers if it does play out.
What a summer it has already been, and what a summer it is still potentially turning out to be. It's all go, Richard. It's all go in the goalkeeping world.
It is. And we are back. So this will be, once again, a regular occurrence. I get the joy of your company every single week, and we will be bigger and brighter than ever.
We will, although potentially not next week.
This is true.
Because we are back.
This is true.
But we did plan to start at the beginning of the Premier League season with a full Between the Sticks show, but I'm supposed to be away right now, and I'm not. So I might be away at the start of the Premier League season this weekend, so we might have a little gap and then return not the week coming but the week after.
Yeah, which is fine. This is just a nice little gentle intro, and then we'll, you know, start with a bang in a couple of weeks. Then there we go.
Lovely stuff, Richard. Thank you,
Matthew, as always. Thank you.
This has been the Goalkeepers Union podcast, Between the Sticks. Keepers
away.